Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The total bay-wide harvest has now surpassed last year's cumulative harvest with 41.5 million fish to date. All five districts have now surpassed their minimum escapement goals for the season. Ugashik got more than half of its total escapement this season over the weekend. It's now at 590,000. It's Monday, July 22nd. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. Coming up tonight, the Quijac finally hit its minimum escapement over the weekend. That means that everyone who predicted a late run was right.
It's a good thing we didn't do anything too drastic. We did go on river for two tides that one day, which seems like it was the prudent thing to do.
Ugashik's escapement has skyrocketed, relatively speaking. We break down the numbers there after a much-needed push of fish in that district. And Igiagig has deployed an in-river hydroelectric generator near the head of the Quijac River. We hear what this means for the village from the launch ceremony last week.
To be able to power your own community and have the local expertise to keep that power running and on, it only makes for a more sustainable community.
Those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
We're going to kick off the numbers on the west side today. Nishigak's daily harvest was a few thousand down from yesterday. The district brought in 35,000 fish for a total of 14.7 million. Escapement across the district was 47,900 for a cumulative of 2.8 million. The total run there is now 17.5 million. The most escapement was in the Igushik. 27,800 fish passed the tower yesterday for a total of 115,700. That is still 35,000 short of the minimum escapement there of 150,000. The Woods escapement was 16,800 yesterday. The total is still hovering around 2 million. And only 3,300 fish escaped up the Nushigak yesterday for a total of 678,800. Togiak harvested 18,000 fish yesterday for a total of 545,700. Escapement was at 10,200 for a total of 119,000. The total run is now 664,700. On the east side, Igigik brought in 186,000 fish yesterday for a total of 14.3 million. Escapement there was almost 20,000 yesterday for a total of 2.2 million. The total run is now at 16.6 million there. The Naknek Quijac hauled in 102,000 for a total of 11.1 million. The daily escapement across the district was almost 263,000 for a total of 5.8 million. The total run there is now 17 million. The Quijac River surpassed the minimum escapement on Saturday. Escapement yesterday was at 188,200 for a total of 2.2 million. The Naknek escapement was at 37,600 for a total of 2.8 million. And the Alagnak River Tower counted 37,100 for a total of 772,300. Ugashik has surpassed its minimum escapement of 500,000. 239,900 fish were counted yesterday for a cumulative of 590,100. The district caught 129,000 fish for a total of 725,200. The in-river estimate there is 330,000, and the total run is now at 1.6 million. We'll have more on the Quijac and Ugashik escapements later in the show. Escapement at the Chignik Weir was 16,800 yesterday. It's just under 500,000 now at 495,300. The North Peninsula's Area M has harvested 1.7 million sockeye so far. The South Peninsula's sockeye harvest is now at 1 million. The pink harvest is still at around 10.4 million. That's all for the numbers today. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Support for KDLG comes from Grundon's new Deck Boss footwear, designed for comfort. More about the Deck Boss lineup of slip-ons, sandals, and boots at grundons.com.
The Quijac River hit its minimum escapement goal over the weekend, becoming the third-to-last river to do so across the bay. Eastside management biologist Travis Ellison said that wasn't entirely unexpected, and he made his management decisions accordingly.
We kind of thought it would be late all along just based on how things have been the last few years, and that's panned out to be true. It's a good thing we didn't do anything too drastic. We did go on river for two tides that one day, which seems like it was the prudent thing to do, and seems like it probably made the difference to get into the escapement goal comfortably.
Now that the district has hit its escapement, Ellison says he expects the run to taper off a bit slower than it did last year.
Oh, our catch was down to about 100,000 yesterday, and last year we were still catching over 400,000 a day, so things are just looking slower there. But we're still getting good escapement. We'll probably be close to 100,000 daily for the Quijack Tower today.
The Quijack wasn't the only river to hit minimum escapement over the last couple of days. After a slow start in Ugashik, the river finally broke into the low end of its escapement goal range over the weekend. For more on the situation in Ugashik, our reporter Alex Hager is joining us in the studio. Alex, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Izzy.
So, can you tell us how things are looking over there?
Yeah, so the district was off to a pretty slow start this year. Even as recently as last week, they'd only had about five or six openers, and the tower wasn't getting a ton of escapement. But now things are looking like they're turning around, at least a little. Ugashik had a goal escapement range of 500,000 to 1.4 million, and the district was taking plenty of time climbing up to that million. To that minimum. Just this past Saturday, the cumulative was hanging around 223,000, which, you know, is less than half of the minimum goal. And they were only getting about 20,000 past the tower in a day. But then all of a sudden, things really ramped up yesterday. In just one day, the district got almost half of its minimum escapement. About 240,000 fish made it up the river in one day alone and put the cumulative escapement up past 500,000, which is right in the low end of the escapement range and makes for a heck of a jump in a single day.
Wow, that's a huge day for escapement in Ugashik. How's the fishing over there?
So obviously a lot of fish are finally showing up in the district and making their way up the river, and so far the fishing has pretty much followed suit. Fishermen in Ugashik caught about 130,000 yesterday and 140,000 the day before, which is a pretty big relief for a district that's only gotten one or two really solid openers up until now. I talked to a fisherman in Ugashik this morning, and they said the pickup and catch numbers is good, but definitely not a fix for everything. They said they're happy with the fish coming now, but they'd be a lot happier if they were seeing those numbers on July 10th. The fact of the matter is it's pretty late in the run right now. I mean, we're really in the home stretch of July at this point, and a surge right now isn't necessarily a fix for a season that's been pretty weak so far. Not to mention, this late in the season, there's no telling how long those numbers are going to keep up.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the district in this final portion of the season. Alex, thanks for the update on Ugashik.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me.
In Igiagig on Lake Iliamna, a first-of-its-kind hydroelectric generator is getting a year-long trial. The launch last week marked a major step in the community's quest for independence from diesel. I went to the ceremony, and I have this report.
Thank you for coming to the place where Lake Iliamna is swallowed by the Quijack River.
Alexana Salmon is speaking on the beach in front of the RivGen commercial generator. It's massive, twin turbines connected to two giant pontoons, painted bright blue and yellow and shining in the midday sun. Salmon is Igiagig's village council president, and she's speaking at the launch ceremony for the hydrokinetic generator.
The Igiagugmiut, the residents of Igiagig, are known for their cultural, environmental, and valued-centered way of life. Since time immemorial, our people survived in this merciless homeland by inventing or adapting to new technologies.
The RivGen power system was deployed for preliminary testing a couple of days after the ceremony. The twin turbine generator sits under the surface of the Quijack River. As the current moves through the turbines, they turn, producing energy. Diesel currently powers most of Igiagig. They fly in the fuel for generators, driving the cost up to about $7 per gallon. Now, the RivGen is expected to provide enough power to the village to cut that diesel consumption in half. There are three driving forces that led to its launch: sustainability, energy independence, and cost, which is especially prevalent considering the recent uncertainty surrounding state subsidies to rural energy.
Like my family of six, we're looking at $350 a month. I'm expecting that to double with PCE going away, so I have to make some huge cuts.
Anything that drives up energy costs will have a big impact for the 70 residents of Igiagig. Again, Alexana Salmon.
I have three freezers. We put up so much subsistence foods that require modern preservation, so I would have to change my lifestyle.
The RivGen's launch marked the beginning of a trial year that will determine whether the generator will impact young salmon migrating to the ocean and whether it will be affected by icy conditions in the winter. The Maine-based Ocean Renewable Power Company designed the generator, partnering with the village to apply for funding and tailor it to the location. Prototypes were tested in 2014 and 2015, and studies during those trials didn't show any impact to fish migrating upriver to their spawning grounds in Lake Iliamna. At the ceremony, guests milled around the beach, mingling with speakers who included Governor Mike Dunleavy and Steve DeWitt, an engineer with the U.S. Department of Energy. Chris Sauer, the CEO of ORPC, spoke as well. The community is hoping to install a second generator if this trial is successful, and Sauer says the price for doing so would drop significantly. ORPC projections estimate the generator would produce energy that costs about 20 cents less per kilowatt hour than diesel.
We really believe that well-sited RivGen projects like this in other communities in Alaska will bring their costs down dramatically. And at some point, I think that the cost will be low enough that they will no longer require subsidies. I honestly believe that.
The road to the generator's deployment last week was long and winding. When the village first started to consider a hydroelectric project, they decided to apply for an emerging technology grant. That meant that they worked with ORPC to develop a project from the ground up instead of using an existing system. After a gap in funding, in June of 2018, they received a federal grant of $2.3 million. A year later, Igiagig became the first tribal entity to receive a Federal Energy Regulatory Commission permit for a water-powered project not connected to a dam. The RivGen is designed for shallow rivers, and the Quijack is ideal. Its current runs between 4 and 5 knots. That's an optimal speed for the system. Over at the village's housing unit for work crews and other visitors, Monty Worthington is getting ready to head out on the water. He's ORPC's Director of Project Development in Alaska, and he says that installing a long-term river turbine in a remote community is unique.
It is harnessing the energy in that moving water without making any dam or impoundment or structure that are what we would call traditional hydro uses.
But to do so, they have to transition the community's power grid from one powered mainly by diesel to a grid that can integrate more renewable energy. That will allow them to turn the diesels off when the RivGen is producing enough energy to meet the village's needs, but will kick the diesel generators on when the power is necessary. As utilities work to incorporate more renewable energy, restructuring the grid is one of the biggest challenges. Worthington says that if they're able to incorporate existing technology to do so, it will have huge implications for renewable energy in communities small and large.
I think when we can prove it out in these small grids, it allows us to leverage that information and even apply it to larger grids and increase our ability to provide more renewable energy. So it's a real novel project in that way, and it'll have applications throughout Alaska.
Exactly how much the RivGen will save is yet to be determined. But according to Alexana Salmon, taking such a big step towards sustainable energy falls in line with their cultural values. Their goal, to have an independent energy source for the community, is part of the village's strategy. Igiarag Muni Dionakaput, our sustainable future.
To be able to power your own community and have the local expertise to keep that power running and on, it only makes for a more sustainable community rather than relying on an outside entity that you have no control over to bring your power.
Salmon says they are committed to making Igiagig an affordable place to live, and the turbines spinning in the Quijack are a big step toward that goal. Reporting in Igiagig, I'm Izzy Ross. That just about does it for the show tonight. In the Bristol Bay Marine weather forecast, tonight a northeast wind at 10 knots, seas at 2 feet and patchy fog. On Tuesday, a southeast wind at 10 knots, seas at 2 feet, patchy fog continuing. And Tuesday night, a west wind at 10 knots, seas at 2 feet and patchy fog. In messages to the fleet tonight, this is Robert, the brother of Yossi from Germany. We are looking forward to having you, Forrest, a.k.a. Waldy, back in Germany. We hope you had a good season. Yossi loves you. See you soon. Good luck to all the others and cheers. And we wanted to translate that for you. Von Robert, der Bruder des Yossis aus Deutschland, wir freuen uns, dich, Waldy, wieder in Deutschland zu haben. Wir hoffen, du hattest eine gute Saison. Yossi hat dich lieb. Bis bald. Viel Glück an alle anderen und Prost. To Bay, Alex, and Braden, we love and miss you, your Sitka family. Happy birthday to Mike Malloy on the Yukon. Love, Mom and Dave. And we're going to close out the night with a fishing song, Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus, a special message with love for the crew of the fishing vessel Sophia from the crew of Dr. Jack. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow.
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why. We kissed, I fell under your spell of love no one could deny. Don't you ever say I just walked away. I will always want you. I can live a lie running for my life. I will always want you. I came in like a wreck. Say I just walked away. I will always want you.